this is Susan Hurley, and you're listening to the Run to the Top podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Coach Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, and welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, where I sit down and interview some of the best and most interesting people in the sport of running. My goal is to help you become a better runner each and every time you listen. I try to choose guests and topics that you don't hear on every other running show, and today is a great example. If you've ever run for charity, or if you've been wondering how charities have been doing this year with so few races being run, you're about to find out from my guest, Susan Hurley. Or maybe you've been looking for a way to elevate your running for a higher purpose. Because let's face it, running and racing can be all about ourselves most of the time. This could be the episode that inspires you to reach for more and make a profound impact, all by doing what you love doing anyway. Before I get to Susan, I want to let you know that this Friday, November 13th, Friday the 13th, I will be announcing a sweet prize only for my absolute favorite listeners. Get the scoop when you join my weekly email, The Elite Treatment. It's nothing spammy, and I never try to sell you anything or share your email or anything weird like that. It's just a way to dive deeper into the guests and topics I have on the show and for you to get to know me a little better. It's part coaching and part storytelling, and it's where I announce all the goodies first. So to get in on the action, just go to runnersconnect.net/podcast, and I'll see you each and every Friday. And now for my weekly update on my big, crazy 2020 goal. If you're new to the show, what I've been doing this fall is actively putting it out there that I'm trying to get 1,000 reviews on iTunes before the end of the year. You know that most hosts on whatever podcast you listen to say at some point, "Hey, I'd love a review on iTunes if you have a chance. It really helps out." And you know what happens? Not much. Even if you love the show and listen every week, you tell yourself, "Yeah, I should write a review." And then you get back from your run and take a shower and eat and check your phone and go to work. And well, that good intention is completely forgotten. I know, because I do this too. So that is why I've made this such a big part of my show each week. If you've already written a review, I absolutely appreciate it, and you have made a real difference. With each positive review, you are adding your voice to say to new listeners, yes, this show is worth your time. And the more listeners we get, the better guests we can get, which means the better runner you will be each and every week. So basically, it means when you write a review, you become a better runner. How great is that? I read each and every one, and I have been loving the kind words you've been posting about the show. And if you've been meaning to, but just haven't quite gotten around to it, you'll want to get in yours as soon as possible, because you'll be entered to win a free month of Runners Connect coaching. I'll be announcing November's winner at the end of the month, so be sure to take a screenshot of your review and email me at claire@runnersconnect.net. The quicker I can get to that elusive 1,000 review goal, the sooner I can stop asking each week. So be sure to get in your review today. I'll mention a few of my favorites at the end of the show. And now to introduce this week's guest, Susan Hurley. Susan is a former New England Patriots cheerleader who uses her high-energy personality to raise the bar and raise funds for charities through running. I was connected to Susan after my conversation with Boston Marathon director Dave McGillivray. Dave is one of the biggest charity fundraisers ever, so I asked him if he could connect me to someone who could talk about that side of running and racing. I've never personally run for charity, but I've always been impressed by those who do, and I wanted to explore this a little. Susan's company is called Charity Teams, and she helps nonprofits navigate the ins and outs of using running races and athletic events as a way to raise money for good causes. There's a lot more to it than just asking your friends and family for money so you can go for a run. It takes lots of organization, and Charity Teams helps take care of the details. I ask her how 2020 has impacted charity running and what she is seeing for the future through virtual racing and beyond. Susan is also working on a very cool project, getting a statue of the running icon Bobby Gibb installed on the Boston Marathon course. In 1966, Gibb popped out from behind the forsythia bushes in Hopkinton to become the first woman to run Boston, and Susan is part of a team making that happen. In addition to Charity Teams, over the last 3 years, Susan has been working to grow an app called Charge Running, which is a live virtual training and racing platform, which is clearly especially relevant right now. It's a pretty cool idea to be able to go for a run with a coach talking to you along the way while virtually racing other people, even when you're actually just running alone in your neighborhood. And now, here's my conversation with Susan Hurley. Welcome to the Run to the Top, Susan.
Thank you so much, Claire. I'm happy to be here.
Your business, Charity Teams, has raised over $24 million for various nonprofits. Can you tell us more about how Charity Teams works and how you started it?
Yeah, so I started Charity Teams sort of on a whim, actually, on the recommendation of a fellow runner and friend, Dave McGilvery, when I heard that charity programs were kind of going to be the thing that was the up and coming, so that people would want to run more races and that would be their inspiration, would be charities. And so I started a business called Charity Teams, and we in 2008, I put it all together. I started with one nonprofit, and we grew this to now, where I've raised over $24 million. I help small nonprofits grow through athletic fundraising opportunities.
Okay, great. So let's say I am a charity and I want to raise money, and I give you a phone call. What is that going to be? What's that conversation going to be like?
Yeah, basically, if you were a charity and you came to me and you said, I wanted to start a charity program, I want a charity team, I need it as part of my development in fundraising, I would essentially look at the area that you're in, see the races in that area that may correlate with getting bibs and having a charity program, and then set you up with that race, or at least try and get you into that race, apply into the charity program. If you get selected, then it would help build your team, help your runners fundraise, coach them through the process.
Wow. So it's like a one-stop shop then.
Exactly. So, I mean, a lot of teams, you know, the team and trainings and the bigger charities, they have a lot of bandwidth to be able to provide services. But the smaller charities don't. So the smaller charities is really where I've made my little bit of a niche, if you will. And so I've really helped a lot of small nonprofits grow. And it's a great opportunity for small nonprofits to be part of a road race.
Okay. Well, obviously 2020 has been strange for all of us, but especially in the running world with no races, what are charities doing?
Yeah, I think right now people, like everyone else, is trying to take a pause, step back, assess the situation. And many are pivoting to the virtual, obviously. And that, I think, has been going fairly well. I have pivoted myself into a live virtual space with an app called Charge Running. So I've been doing, a lot of my charities are transitioning on that for development to raise funds. But I think the virtual space is here to stay. And I think it's a great way to have some development and fundraising going on with virtually no heavy lifting.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about your app a little more in a little more detail in just a minute, but I kind of want to go down to the personal level as a runner. So, you know, most runners, we race because we want to achieve a personal goal or, you know, have a carrot to reward us after all of our hard work. So what makes it different when you run for charity?
I think the thing that makes it different when you run for charity is that you have a greater purpose, right? It becomes very selfless instead of selfish. You know, you're working towards not only fundraising goals that are generally pretty high, but maybe you're trying to, you know, cure cancer or help with cancer. And I think that, you know, people run for different reasons and you see, I think you see a really, you know, a different breed of runner going into the charity world, maybe not as fast, you know, definitely somebody that might be just more of an average runner trying to qualify or maybe would never have the chance to qualify for an event. But they go into this charity space and they find a little bit of it, you know, they're inspired and they can set goals and feel like they're achieving a lot of great things.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of like, you know, runners who may not be fast enough to let's talk about the Boston Marathon, for example. If you're not fast enough to meet the qualifications, you can go ahead and sign up with a charity and run for charity. But there's some big fundraising goals that you have to meet, which I think might be intimidating to some people and maybe kind of stressful. So how do you encourage people when they're facing some, you know, I don't know what it is, like $5,000 goal or something like that? How do you encourage people? Because that seems a little scary to me.
Yeah, I think that is probably the most intimidating part of charity running is you have to raise funds. Nobody likes to ask friends and family for money, right? I even find myself in that situation at times, but I think, you know, it's not like you're a bill collector. You're really trying to do something very positive. So I think it's all in your approach. And I think it's a way that you motivate people. So I try very hard to encourage people, give them all the tools that they need, all the different tricks, whether it be in-person events of fundraising or doing things of different ways to reach out and send emails or send social media posts. And through that means we're able to achieve really great fundraising goals. And with the Boston Marathon alone, you know, my average fundraiser in a normal year raises $13,000. So they go above and beyond. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you have anybody that you can think of in mind that is just a charity superstar? Any good stories that you can share with us?
Yeah. I mean, I love all of my runners. They all try really hard. So I don't think that there's any one in particular. I'll tell you, I love the stories that come out of the charities. I mean, the fundraising is obviously miraculous in what they do. They're all superheroes in their own right. But there was one story in particular this year with the virtual that really inspired, I think, many of us. And that was the Halliday girls out of Boston, two sisters running with this incredible goal, one battling colon cancer, stage 4 colon cancer, and she couldn't run the actual virtual. It was just very hard for her because she's been getting treatment, and they're horseback riders. So they went out and they actually one day took their horses out on the course, went to the starting line in Boston and rode these two white majestic horses down the course just to meet their goals of running the Boston Marathon. And this is the only way that they could potentially do it is they wanted to do it together, but with, you know, one of the sisters being, you know, battling cancer, this was the best way for them to do it. It was very heartfelt. And many people came out to support them on that day. And they finished right in front of the Boston Public Library on these two beautiful white majestic horses.
Wow. I'm sure that was quite a sight to see.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the virtual racing. You know, virtual racing is here to stay, I think, for a while. I think it's a challenge for some people because it's not the same as in-person races. And you've kind of come up with a little bit of a solution for that with your app. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So I am head of virtual partnerships at Charge Running, and Charge Running is a live virtual training and racing app. It is actually a running service with coached runs, live trainer-led running classes. It's for all levels. We've partnered with Jeff Galloway. So we do all the Jeff Galloway walk to runs live on here, his training. We're doing something with Bart Yasso now. We have advanced classes. We have advanced track attack workouts. And basically, it's bringing back the community of running. Not as we know it, where you're actually going to a starting line physically, but you know, where you're running in a community live together. You put in your headphones, there's other people in there, and it just makes it very exciting. So we have the training and we have weekly races, and we partner with many nonprofits for live racing.
Okay, very cool. So it's sort of like Peloton for runners or something like that?
Yeah, I would say probably a lot more personalized than a Peloton, but yes, I would say very similar to that, but with a very personal feel and actually a lot of live races. So, and for example, this weekend we have probably like 5 or 6 live races going on. So it's subscription based.
Okay.
So you'd buy a subscription.
Okay, so if I wanted to go out the door and go for a run, I just plug in my headphones and somebody would be telling me to run faster, or how does that work?
Yeah, so basically, so it works outdoors, it works on a treadmill, and it works in listen-in only mode. So if you wanted to just listen in and do another workout, you could do that as well. We measure your pace, your cadence, you know, your steps per minute, your heart rate, things like that in the app. All those stats come in to the trainer. Yeah, you'd put on your headphones and a trainer would come in. There'd be other people in the class or in the race. In the races, it's a live leaderboard. So if you were running against me and there were other people, we would see the race unfold, which is really cool. It's a great feature.
Okay. So someone would be saying, you're in the lead, Claire, or uh-oh, Susan's
Absolutely.
Catching up to you.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And is it direct communication?
Oh, wow. And is it like course specific? So let's say I was running the Boston Marathon. I could, you know, plug in the Boston Marathon and run it with a coach in my ear telling me, okay, you know, Heartbreak Hill's coming up or something like that, or?
Well, not really. So,
okay.
Not yet. So, We don't do live courses, but we do curated scripted content. So if you were running for a cancer organization came to us and said, we want to put on a race, there would be scripted content that would detail out everything about that cancer organization as you run. So it's a little podcasty with music and a live trainer. So
okay.
It really gets across communication and messaging.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to talk about another project that you are doing. You are working on installing a statue of Bobby Gibbs on the Boston Marathon race course. So for those of our listeners who might not be familiar, can you tell us who she is and why this statue is so important?
Yeah, Bobby Gibb is the very first woman in 1966 to run the Boston Marathon. And the 26.2 Foundation out in Hopkinton is going to be building a statue, and I helped raise the funds for that with them. I joined forces, and the statue will be unveiled in April, hopefully April, depends on when the marathon is, of 2021. So fingers crossed it's April. If not, they push back and do it another. But on marathon weekend, I'm confident it will be unveiled.
Okay, great. So
yeah.
What made you want to get involved in this?
Well, it was something that somebody came to me, Tim Kilduff of the 26.2 Foundation came to me and asked me if I would help with it, given my background in fundraising. So being a runner myself and knowing Bobby and knowing the impact that she and both Catherine Switzer and so many other greats like Joan Benoit have made, I just couldn't turn away from it. And I felt like it was a great opportunity for me to contribute and back to the running community. So the statue will sit on the corner of Hayden Row and Maine, and it will live there. And the name of the statue is The Girl Who Ran, based on a children's book written about Bobby Gibb and her experience when she jumped out of the bushes in 1966.
Yeah, awesome. And so was it done by a local artist, or do you know anything about that artist?
Yeah, the artist was Bobby herself. Bobby is a renowned sculptor, believe it or not, and she did her own likeness, and it took many years to get to this project, but it is absolutely beautiful, and it will be the first and only women's statue for now on the Boston Marathon course. Hopefully, we'll have many others.
Wow, that's so great. I didn't know that. She did it herself. That's absolutely amazing. So, you know, this year, as we've talked about, has been really challenging for a lot of people. So I would love to hear your tips, since you work so much in the virtual race space. How do we stay motivated? How do we look beyond, you know, possibly having no races and you know, nothing to plan for? What are your best tips for this?
Yeah, I would say, you know, continue to set goals. That's the main thing. I mean, that's what I do. I'm running many virtual marathons that I've transitioned to this fall. And I'm continuing to train every day through those goals that I have, because obviously, if you're going to run a marathon, you need to train for it. I would say also to be patient, give yourself a little bit of a break here. I think it's been very difficult on a lot of people. Thankfully, you know, the running community is very supportive of each other. So through different Facebook groups, you can find motivation through running communities. And then, of course, you know, with goal setting comes inspiration. You know, maybe find a nonprofit that is hosting a virtual run and use that for your inspiration in your goal setting so that you can continue to stay in shape as we move through this really uncertain time and racing comes back as we know it. But I would just say, you know, stay engaged and communicate with the run community. We're all in the same boat here. And I think that, you know, apps like Charge Running and different apps out there will really help keep you engaged and keep you motivated and just keep goal setting.
Yeah. Well, I like that idea, you know, to choose a charity or to choose something beyond yourself as a way to motivate you in this time, because, you know, we coach a lot of athletes at Runners Connect, and it's tough, you know, when there's not the usual race to plan for, but maybe choosing a charity and having to show up for someone besides yourself could be really motivational for some people.
I agree. I think, you know, just looking at running in charity in general, it motivates you to do races and raise a lot of money for, say, New York City Marathon or Boston Marathon. Use that same mindset as you would, you know, like take that into the virtual space and be motivated. And, you know, maybe you have a friend that's battling cancer or drug addiction or something. Try and be helpful in that situation. I always feel like in times when we all feel like we're suffering a little, when you give of yourself, you feel much better about yourself. So, mm-hmm. You
know. Yeah, good point to remember. So what is next for you? You mentioned that you are training for some virtual marathons. What kind of things are you training for?
Yeah, so I just finished I did Boston and then I just did my Chicago. So, I have Marine Corps that I've signed up for. And I also have New York City Marathon that I was supposed to run. So I'm doing that one. So those are my next two. And then I just got this card in the mail from Berlin Marathon that you have to run 2 hours and 1 minute, I believe it is, to correlate with Elio Capocci's time in Berlin. So that's what they're doing. So I have those three things on deck right now. And those are my three goals right now. But I continue to try and set goals as we move through this, because who knows when this climate is going to go away.
Yeah, I think that is good advice for everyone. You know, we can't plan for the future right now. So we got to, you know, do the best we can and make some lemonade here. Well, I have a few questions that I ask everyone. I would love to know if you could go back and talk to yourself when you first started running, what advice would you give yourself?
I think the advice that I would probably give myself is don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something. My mother told me my whole life, you cannot be a cheerleader your whole life. I was a cheerleader for the New England Patriots. And she continued to say, Susan, you've got to find work. You've got to get a job. And she'd say, you can't be a cheerleader your whole life. And I feel like I've proved her wrong. I would say just be the person that you were born to be. You know, I have this spirit in me that I like to cheer people on, and I do it in my job now every single day. And that makes me feel good. I feel like I am the person I was supposed to be.
Oh, that's so wonderful. What is the greatest gift that running has given you?
I think the greatest gift that running has given me is self-esteem and friendship, both of those two things equally. I think, especially as a woman, I think self-esteem is very important. I wish that more young girls would get involved with running because I do feel that, and young men, I do feel that running does give you the tools to be able to succeed in life. And then,
Wonderful. I totally agree with you. And finally, Susan, where can listeners and charities connect with you?
So listeners and charities can connect with me on my website at charityteams.com. And there's a contact form there that they can actually submit for any information with regards to running Boston Marathon, New York City Marathon, Chicago Marine Corps, Falmouth Road Race, any of those. Or as a charity, if you're looking to get involved and learn how to, you know, form a team and use that into your development, they can message me through that contact form as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll put that information in our show notes for our listeners to check out. Susan, I have been delighted to have you here. I really appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck with all of your running goals.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. And I'm excited to keep moving forward in this climate and see what it brings.
Absolutely. All right. Take care, Susan.
Thank you.
I'm really happy to hear that charities are still doing well raising money without in-person races. When all the major events were canceled this year, I often wondered how the nonprofits who depend on these races for support were doing. It's great to hear that people are being creative and finding a way to navigate through all the uncertainty and hopefully reach the other side stronger. Thank you so much to Betsy Bach-Massey, RT Glass, Kyle Grealis, D Jaguar, Reed Runner, and more for answering my call to write a review on iTunes. D Jaguar actually wanted to give us 8 stars instead of just 5, which is perfectly fine by me. I'd love to add your name to the list, so please write a review today. And that's it for the Run to the Top podcast for this week. I'm your host, Coach Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Thanks for listening and have a great run today.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.